Amen. That's how I stand in this morning for the reading of the Word of God, okay?
Amen.
And you just remain standing. We'll read our text today, and then we'll bring the thought the Lord has laid upon my heart. And once again, I got another inspiration in the shower. I mean, this is an amazing thing. I think I'm going to have to start spending more time in the shower. Amen. I don't think two showers a day is enough for me anymore. It seems like every time I get in there, the Lord speaks to me about something. And I'm serious. I was there taking a shower on yesterday morning and had already been preparing to preach on Moses, which I'll preach on tonight, Lord willing. And the Lord brought a verse to my mind just exactly like that and said, that's it for the morning. And so I went out and sat down and began to pin down a few thoughts. And I like it that way, you know, when God gives you something like that. And I hope it'll be a help to us as a church this morning. So turn your Bibles with me to Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90, if you would please. Psalm number 90. And I want to read all 17 verses of this little chapter this morning. All 17 verses of Psalm and number 90, okay? Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations.
Yep.
Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, thou hadst formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up in the evening, is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet their strength, labor, and sorrow. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. And yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. All right, now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in just a moment of prayer, and we'll try to bring what God's laid on our heart. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the Sunday school time that we've already enjoyed. Thank you, Lord, for the good Word of God during that time, and thank you for the good fellowship we've had, the songs we've sang. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you, Lord, for the precious Word of God. It's more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold. We rejoice in the fact that you've given us a revelation of God. Given us, Lord, means of understanding that word and living by that word and loving that word. Now, I pray this morning you'll instill it into our hearts. Give us grace here today. Save souls for the glory and honor of God. Do bless those, Lord, that are homesick and those that are afflicted, those that are hurting this morning. I pray you'll help the grieved and the bereaved. I pray, Lord, this morning that you'll touch me with the Spirit of God. Fill me, I pray, with your power, with your Spirit. Enable me to say everything that I need to say, Lord. Help my body as well as my spirit today. Save souls and revive and rejoice the hearts of God's people and give help and grace. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Our text verse this morning is found in verse number 12. And where the Bible says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I want to preach on that one thought, and I'll use both of them really, but I want to take a thought from the first part of that, where the Bible says here, so teach us to number our days. Now, I don't know what kind of a Bible you have, but I have a Scofield, and the heading of my Bible, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And Moses certainly was a man of God. There is absolutely no doubt about that. He was the man that God used to deliver Israel out of Egypt and to give him the law, to give to his people. Of course, the law was given as a schoolmaster to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, in reading down through this, I don't think that we have to look very far or think very hard to come to the conclusion that maybe Moses here is not necessarily comparing the eternality of God and man's brevity of life. But you can certainly see that all the way through this particular psalm. For instance, in verse number 2, and this is, by the way, Moses stating this fact, that he already knew. He says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And how true that is. And I've said this so many times, that there never was a time that God was not. And there never shall be a time that he is not. God is from eternity to eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. And there never shall be a time that he is not. The Bible says there that 1,000 years in his sight is but as yesterday when it's past. So time has no meaning to God. He lives in the realm of eternity. And time has absolutely no bearing on him whatsoever. That's why he can be a patient God. He's not controlled by years. He's not controlled by days. He's not controlled by months. He's not controlled by hours. He's not controlled by anything. He lives in eternity, and he is the all-eternal one. It says it's but a watch in the night. 1,000 years to the Lord is but a watch in the night, and a night's watch was 4 hours in those days, just 4 hours. And so it's really not much time for the Lord in eternity. But it's quite different for man. Man's life is quite different. It's very brief, to say the least. The Bible said in the book of James said, what is man's life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then passeth away. If you've ever seen an old tea kettle and the water come to boil in that tea kettle, steam will start rolling up out of that spout. It doesn't roll up very far until it just vanishes away. And that is the thought here, that man's life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. And I'd say that to all of you in here this morning, from young to old, in middle age, it makes no difference. Your life, at the very best, upon this earth, is going to be very short. Right. Now, some of you people that are young, you don't understand that right now. But I once was young, and I'm now old. And I can look back and see that without any shadow of a doubt, that time of life that we have on this earth is very brief. And by the way, it passes by very rapidly. I know to some people, young people, it seems like time will never get here. But when it gets here, you look back and say, where did it go to? It's gone. Time comes and it goes. And by the way, it does not stop for any man. I'll soon be 65 years old. I know I don't look it, amen, but I will be. And I look back on the time of my life and I say to myself, Lord, how can I possibly have been on this earth this long when in my mind I still just, to me, I'm still just a young man, but in reality, I'm not a young man anymore. for the years have gone by, and they've told a tale upon this fleshly body of mine, and it's growing old, it's growing weak, it's growing tired, and very sickly. And I'll tell you, if you live long enough, yours will do the same thing. By the way, somebody said, God is mean to us to do that to us. No, sickness and diseases in our body is God's way of preparing us for death. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. I sat and talked to my brother on Friday for about 4 hours. He's 76 years old. He's sick. He barely can get up out of a chair. And he made this statement to me. He said, you know, he said, I really wish that I could just go on and be with the Lord. He said, they're wanting to run more tests on me. And he said, I'm not going to let them do it. He said, I'm just going to tell them no. He said, I want them to leave me alone and let me die. He said, there's nothing left on this earth for me. I'm 76 years old. I'm almost what you would call housebound. Unable to go anywhere. Unable to do anything. He said, I'm no benefit to nobody. I got to be taken care of by everybody. And he said, my life is gone and I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. And he realized, 76 years old, he realizes that his time is come and gone. And we sat there and talked about times when we were boys at home. And what we did when we were boys, and how the time from then to now has so rapidly flown away, and it's gotten away from us. Our time has gotten away from us. And we realize that time is very brief upon the earth. In fact, Moses says here in verse 6, he said, in verse 5, he said, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. How many of you ever woke up in the morning and said, I think I'll just set the snooze and take another little doze? We all done that, haven't we? We don't want to get up. We hit that snooze button and say, I'll take 5 more minutes. Boy, that button goes off and you say, Lord, 5 minutes couldn't have went by that fast. But it did, and it's over and gone. And that's exactly what Moses is referring to here. He said, it's like a sleep in the morning. You doze off, you wake up, and the time is gone. And that's exactly how our life is. We just doze off, it's here, and it's gone, and it's over. And I'm going to tell you, it'll get over a whole lot sooner than what some of us really believe that it will. He said, it's like the grass. He said, it grows up in the morning, it flourisheth, it groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withered away. That's a very short span. That's a day's span. And he said, that's life. It's like a day's span. He said, it's like the grass, that in the morning it flourishes, and then in the evening it grows, in the afternoon it grows a little bit, and in the evening it's cut down, and it vanishes away. But we come down to our text when he said, teach us to number our days. Now, I always thought that Moses was an old man when he wrote this chapter, when he wrote this book of chapter in the Bible. And I'm not saying that he wasn't. But if he was, why would he use that statement, teach us to number our days? If his days were almost over, why would he want to number them? Why would he want to look back and help? He said, that we may apply ourselves to wisdom. And so, if you look at that little word, us, Moses is just not writing about Moses. Moses is writing about all of us. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply ourselves to wisdom. Teach us, Lord, not just as an old man, Lord, but teach us to number our days. And you know, I think I've got a hold of what he was talking about here. He's not just necessarily referring to those days of our old age, but I think he's talking, first of all, about the days of our youth. Number the days of our youth, that we may apply ourselves to wisdom. And he's probably talking about our manhood, our years of our middle age. Help us, Lord, to number those days that we may apply ourselves to wisdom. And even as an old gray-headed man like myself, Lord, help us to number our days then also that we may apply ourselves to wisdom. Now, I want to begin this morning, first of all, by saying the young people need the Lord. The Lord needs to teach you to number your days that you may be wise. God wants young people to be wise. He really does. I'm going to tell you, and I hate to say this, and I'm not being ugly, but I tell you, we've got some young people today in the world that are dumber than a box of rocks. They've got the idea they're going to live forever, and they're never going to see the grave, or they're never going to see death, that they're never going to see old age. But I'm telling you, everything that I said will creep up on you one of these days, and when it gets there, you look back at it and wonder where it came from and how you got to where you are. But I'm telling you that you are going to get there, and you better learn while you're young. Hey, you better learn while you're young to number your days of your youth, that you may apply yourself to wisdom. Learn to be wise. I believe the Bible said in Ecclesiastes that we ought to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Now, come on in now. Now, listen, I wrote this down. I said, most young people want to get old enough, but not too old. Now, you get a hold of that after a while. Most young people, when they're real young, they want to get old enough, but then they don't want to get older. But I got news for you. You're going to get older. I'll tell you, the fellas, them muscles you used to have up here, they're going to be like Brother Hall's and be hanging down here. It's just going to happen that way. I'll guarantee you that's the way it's going to be. And young people want to get old, but they don't want to get too old. And then some of them, some young people, believe they're old enough when they're not really old enough. There's a lot of youth, a lot of young people that have begun to get into their teenage years, and brother, we've learned it all, we know it all, we've arrived, we've got to where, well, you're still wet behind the ears and in diapers. You don't know anything about life. I'm going to tell you, I've lived 64 plus years and I've realized that I still don't know much about life. Not near as much as I'd like to know about life. There's a whole lot to learn about life, and there's a whole lot to learn about death, and there's a whole lot to learn about eternity. And while you're young, you better apply yourself to wisdom that you may learn that.
Amen.
Now, I will say the first thing you need to be taught when you're young, in applying yourself, the wisest thing you can do is to be saved by the grace of Almighty God. That Bible said there in verse number 14, it said, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy." Early. Early. While you're young, satisfy us early. How, and with what? With thy mercy. In other words, Lord, while I'm just a young man or a young woman, while I'm just a teenage boy or girl, satisfy me at that young age by showing me mercy and saving me by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, young people, it is a glorious thing to get saved while you're young and serve the Lord all the days of your life. The longer you live, the older you get, the harder that heart gets, and the more difficult it'll ever be for God to save you. And I'm telling you, God, hey, God wants to save you at your earliest possible convenience. Somebody say amen right there. He is not willing that any should perish. God came into this world to seek and to save the lost. And that's talking about young people as well as old people. God wants you to be saved. Amen. That's right. God wants you to be saved. And God will save young people. He saved Daniel, young man. He saved David as a young man. God will save you when you're young. You know what the people today think a good testimony is? Getting out in the world and trying everything the world's got. Then getting saved. So you can come in and tell people how filthy and raunchy and nasty you were and sinful you were, and make people believe that now that you're saved, that that's a great thing. I'm going to tell you the best testimony a young person can have. The best testimony you can have is that I've never had premarital sex, that I've never sucked on a cigarette, that I've never drank a can of beer, that I've never took dope, that I've never disobeyed my parents. Hey, come on in the house. That is the best testimony that a young person can ever have, that I have lived my life in the house of God, been taught in the house of God, raised in the house of God, and by God's grace I've been saved and I'm going to live for God. Hallelujah. You don't have to experience all that stuff to be saved. No, no. But God will save folks that have experienced that. And so God wants us to be saved at a young age. Be wise and be saved in your youth. Then I think God wants you to be satisfied as a young person. He said, "Oh, satisfy us early." You know, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say now. Satisfy us early. You know, there are so many kids today that are discouraged in life. I've never seen a generation where young people are any more dissatisfied with what's going on, more dissatisfied with what's going on in their life than what I'm seeing right now. When I was a young boy growing up, I could crawl up under our house. We didn't have a foundation. And I could take an empty spool of thread and a rubber band and two sticks and have more fun than most kids know how to. I can have more fun in an hour than most young people can have all of their life these days. You know what? You know what satisfaction is to a young person today? What do you get out of that? What is your heart getting out of that? How much? I'm talking about true life satisfaction. What are you getting out of that? Oh, I'm telling you, you can be satisfied as a young person. Kids today, if they don't get the fact, I don't know why I'm on this, but if they don't have exactly what they want to eat, they ain't going to eat it. But I'm going to tell you, I grew up a boy and a poor boy, and what Mama sat down before us, if we didn't eat that, we didn't eat friend. There wasn't anything. There wasn't any Pringles back then. They may have been candy bars, but they wasn't in our cupboard. They may have been different foods, but they wasn't in our cupboard. I'm telling you, I've sat down before at a bowl of blackberries that I picked with a little milk and sugar on them and a piece of biscuit, and that was supper. Now I'm going to tell you something. I said, I wouldn't eat that mess. Oh, yes, you would. You'd be surprised what you'd eat if you get hungry enough. That's right. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you, I ain't that. I don't like that. All right. Bless God. Let them learn to like it. I'm going to tell you. Let them learn to put on the table and then learn to eat what put on the table and let it satisfy them. Hey, they'll learn to get satisfied off of that.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you. And while they're young, they'll learn to be satisfied with God. You don't have to go out in the world to find you. In fact, you will not find satisfaction in the world. You'll just want more. Listen to me now. Sin is sin, and all you ever want out of it is the more you get, the more you'll want. But I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I learned the more of Jesus I got. Hallelujah. The more of Him that I wanted. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And so, you be satisfied. And I've seen so many kids today that are discouraged, discontented, dissatisfied. So many of them are depressed. They're on all kind of antidepressants. Put them on Ritalin in school because they say they're too active. You know what will take that activeness out of them? Can I tell you? A good paddle and a hot seat every now and then. I didn't act like that when I was a boy. My dad, if I got heated up at school, I got heated up when I got home. Amen. There wasn't no question about it being right. Daddy, I was right and the teacher was wrong. Didn't matter to Daddy. If we got it at school, we got it at home, buddy. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Kids today are not that way. They're inactive, so they put them on Ritalin. And I'm going to just be honest with you. All they're doing is starting them on dope at an early age. I told you last week, I'll tell you again, they had it in the paper that in the state of Kentucky this year, they have had one death every 9 hours from overdose from prescription medication. And we wonder what's going on in America. I'm going to tell you what's going on. People are not being preached to. They're not being taught. They're not being told. Come on now. And our young people are not satisfied with what's going on at the house of God. Come on now. We come to church later than 4 o'clock in the morning. They come to a place to see a little life and to see God and meet God. And they go home like those kids did in Jeremiah 14 when they went to the pits to draw water and they found none. And they go home without water. They need to be satisfied. Many kids today are just defeated in life. I've seen them sitting in malls and they just sitting there. Little old girl come out of the bedroom of my brother's house Friday. She's shacked up there with my brother's grandson. Her hair was about 15 different colors. Looks like she had been melted and poured down in the pair of blue jeans she had on. And you could just see this expression on her face. That life had no meaning.
Right.
Life to her was no more. Life was no more than a time on the internet for a while, talking to somebody, smoking a joint, drinking a beer, running around when she could. That was life to her. Friend, I'm telling you, that's not life.
Amen.
That is not life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Oh, thank God. I'm glad when Christ died on Calvary and shed His precious blood.
Amen.
And He brought life into the reach of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And you can be saved at a young age and serve God at a young age. Because Christ died to save you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And He come to give you a life that is worth living.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I just began to live when I got saved. I'm not going back there, but oh, I could tell you some stories. Man, my life was bad now, I'm telling you. I was meaner than the devil. I was. But I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus sat down on me, buddy, He tamed me like He did that donkey.
Amen.
Amen. That donkey, never anybody sat on him, but Jesus sat on him. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus ever sits down on you, you'll buckle under the load, friend.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Hey, you've never had a hand on you so heavy as a hand of God. God puts His hand on a sinner. It's a heavy hand. I'm going to tell you, He knows how to bring that sinner under conviction and show him his ungodliness and his sinfulness. Oh, and by the way, He knows how to dangle you out over hell and let you see the flames of hell and know that you're going there for all eternity without God and without hope. So what I'm saying to young people today, get saved while you're young. Be satisfied while you're young. And live for God while you're young. Amen. Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. Then notice what it says. It says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Amen.
All our days. All our days. You know, I looked up that word. I looked up that word, glad. All our days. You know what I mean? It means to brighten. That little old song says, brighten the corner where you are. In other words, Jesus saving you, He knows how to brighten up your days. Your days may seem gloomy. Dull. I'm going to tell you something else. The house of God may seem gloomy and dull to you. It may seem like a drag. In fact, I heard someone left here the other day and said, this is boring. Well, it may be boring to you. But I'm going to tell you, if you ever get born again,
amen,
it'll be like that water of Marah.
Amen.
That was so bitter that Israel couldn't drink it. But I'm going to tell you what. When Moses threw that stick into that water, oh, buddy, it made it sweet to the taste. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The preaching of the Word of God in the house of God, it may be bitter to you right now and boring to you right now. But if you ever get the cross of Christ in your life, things will pick up for you. Hallelujah. And you will learn this is the best place that a person can ever be is in the house of God. Amen. I'd rather be in the house of God than I would be in the White House. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, they throw the White House and the outhouse. Amen. That's right. Got no use for that bunch of bums.
Amen.
Now, listen very carefully. You can brighten the space right where you are. Then I want to say secondly, not only teach me to number my days and my youth that I may be wise, but Lord, teach me to number the days of my manhood that I may be wise. As a young man, like some of you are in here today, learn to number those days that you might be wise. Look what he says in verse 16. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. Plural. Servants. In other words, Lord, teach us to be wise in our service. In our service. Let me say this, and I'll preach on it in a minute. These are years that we must guard against worldly ambitions, laboring for ourselves, laboring for self gain rather than laboring for godliness. We could be better guard against that. We better be careful about that. Are you listening to me in here? Family men, young men and women that have families today, I'm telling you, you're living in the time of your life. Hey, in the very strength of your life. And can I say this? That a church needs all three. It needs young people to put a little joy in it. It needs a manly men. Needs a men in their manhood years to put the labor into it. It takes old gray-headed men to put a little bit of wisdom into it. It takes every age in the house of God for it to be completed what God wants it to be doing. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you better number your days while you're in your, not your youth, but your years of manhood, that you may know how to serve the Lord. It'll get by you. I was called to preach in 1981. I was ordained in 1981. I went to over here and preached for a little over a year over in Rumsey. Went to Bible college and graduated from school. Went to Tucson, Arizona, started Sun and Shield Baptist Church. And I've been here over 23 years now. Now I want you to listen while I'm here. Hey, I look back at my service and I say, Lord, what have I done? It's to me like I have no accomplishments at all for God. And I think, Lord, has my life been completely a failure in the eyes of God? You know, I'm so thankful when I feel that way that I can look up into the light of His countenance and see a smile on His face and say, no, my son, because don't you remember that Wednesday night when I told you to get out of the country of your fathers into a land that I'll show you and I'll bless you there. And I'm going to tell you, by the good grace of God, 2 weeks later, I was sitting down in Rumsey, Kentucky. There's that land God wanted me to be in. And I've been, hey, as a crow flies, I'm not over 12 or 13 miles from that place right now. Hey, man! And I'm right in that land, right in the will of God, doing what God wants me to do. And that's the main thing, is just doing the will of God for your life. Find God's will, stay in God's will, do God's will, live God's will. And I tell you, you'll never regret it. Hallelujah. When you get into mully grubs, uh-oh, it's broke. Well, so much for that. Here, Brother Doug, you're the fixer-upper. Go in there and turn me on. Robert, where you at? Huh? Oh, sorry about that. Didn't mean to get so rambunctious. But I'll tell you what, when you find the will of God, stay in that will of God. That's right. Wise in our service. Then be wise in our sorrows. Look at verse, if you would, I think it's verse number 15, I believe. That's not telling my writing. He said, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Oh, somebody said, preacher, I don't want that. But God gives us that to make us wise. Do you realize that He said in the book of Psalms, in chapter 39 and verse 4, He said, Lord, He said, make me to know mine end, the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail that I am. And again He says, well, I've lost it now in the book of Psalms. I'll find it here in a minute. He said in Psalm 119 and verse number 67, I forgot to put a marker there. Psalm 119 and verse number 67. I'll get there in a minute. Just bear with me. And when I get there, I'm going to preach to you. I guarantee you on that. Amen. 119 and verse number 67. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. Before I was afflicted. I'm going to tell you what. As a man or as a woman, you better number your days at the age you're in, that you may be wise in the afflictions of God, in the sorrows of God. Because I'm telling you, it's in the sorrows, it's the time of sorrows that we learn what God wants us to be. Hey, He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I'm telling you, if you want to be like Christ, you're going to have to go through that time. Amen. Brother Steve said that very well this morning, that being in the image of Christ and conformed to the image of Christ is not just talking about a bodily image, but it is talking about a life. It is talking about conduct. Oh, yes, sirree. I'm going to tell you, if we want to be like Him, we're going to have to be afflicted. We're going to have to go through some afflictions, some times of sorrow. And I'm telling you, it's like chastisement. It's like in Hebrews 12, chastisement. No chastisement seemeth good for the moment. But I'm telling you, God uses that to correct us. And we oughtn't to get upset about the afflictions and the chastisements that God puts us through. It is a time of learning. We better number those days. Because I tell you, that's the days that most of the heavy stuff is going to be laid on you. I've been there. I'm telling you what I know. Not for the Bible. I'm telling you what I know. During those years of manhood, raising a family, that's when the afflictions are going to come. And I'm going to tell you, they're all there for your benefit. And you better measure those years. I'm going to tell you why. Just like a young person, you need to measure those days. You know why? Because these days you've got here will soon be here. And you older people that are here, hey, hang on. God let you live long enough, you'll soon be
right.
I've done climbed the hill, and I'm sliding down on the other side. And I'm gaining speed all the way. You understand that?
Amen.
And you will too if God lets you live long enough.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you there's one alternative to growing old. So I think I'll grow old.
Amen.
Are you listening? I want to say thirdly, be wise about secret sins. Look in verse number 8. The Bible said, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. In other words, they are not hidden. God has not hidden our sins. No, sir. In the days of our manhood, it is easy. It is easy to become careless. You hear what I said? As a young man or a young woman, it's easy to grow careless. We have been saved a few years. We think we learned it all. We think we know it all. And the devil is no match for us. And we've overcome the flesh. I got news for you. You'll never overcome the flesh, and you'll never defeat the devil in your own power.
Amen.
And people get careless because they get self-confident, and when you get self-confident, you grow careless, and when you grow careless, you're headed for trouble.
Amen.
That's exactly what's happened to a lot of these preachers today that turned out homo. That's why young people don't want to come to church. They don't ever preach it to more. A lot of preachers turn out to be whoremongers and drunks and everything.
Right.
I've never in my life.
Amen.
I read a thing. Fella told me the other day about a preacher that was going to candidate for a church, and I looked the church up online that he was candidating for. I'm not going to tell you where it was at or what the name of it was, but I'm telling you what, I looked it up, and the former pastor that was just left there had grown up in that church. Was a 27-year-old man that had grown up in that church, and they made him the pastor. And I forget how many counts they had on him of child molestation and abuse as a 27-year-old man as a pastor. Who's ever going to have... Hey, men like that don't do anything but cast a shadow of doubt upon every preacher in the country from all. People look at churches and say, well, I'm just as good as they are doing anything. Hey, don't compare yourself with man.
Amen.
Oh, no. Compare yourself with God. For a man that compares himself with another man is not wise, the Bible says. You better compare yourself with Jesus and try to live up to Him.
Amen.
Isn't that sad, though?
Yes, sir.
I read in yesterday's paper, and I forget how many it was, but a local man got picked up for child pornography. They found him on the internet. But I forget how many pictures and things of child porn. And him with a young teenager, he found it on his computer. I think they charged that man with 288 counts. 288 counts! It is no wonder young people have lost their respect for the elderly and the middle aged. We've raised a bunch of whoremongers in America. And the preachers won't say anything about it in their pulpit. I guarantee you go to a lot of churches in town this morning. You and I'm not bragging on my preaching, but you won't hear anybody preaching against sin like I have today.
Right,
you will not hear it. You know why? They want that moolah. They want that people. And they know that's the easy way to get it. The tickle of the ears. Amen.
Right.
Amen. There ain't no ear tickling going on around here, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. We're hiding skinning.
Amen.
I hold you skin, I'll throw in the salt. Amen. That's right. So you get careless. They get confident. They get careless. And then it's easy to get complacent when you get middle-aged. You just get complacent. You're tired. You work all day. And your body's starting to age a little bit. And it's just easy to sit back and just let somebody else do it. Number your years. Because I'm telling you, there'll come a time when you can't do it. And you'll wish that you could do it. Can I say this to you this morning? I'm going to say it, whether you want me to or not.
Amen.
I sat down across the table from my wife last night. And I said, sweetheart, I want to ask you a question. She thought, I do that all the time. She thought I was just joking. She said, I said, will you give me an honest answer? I'll give you an honest answer. I said, sweetheart, I'm trying to be sober. Oh, I'm sure you are. Sure you are. I'll give you an honest answer. I said, baby, I'm serious. She said, okay, what is it? I said, do you think the disease that I have has caused me to be negligent in my pastoral responsibilities? I'm not going to tell you what she said. But I'm going to tell you, when I come to a point in my life and in my age that I realize that I'm negligent in what God's called me to do, I'll sit down. Because I'd be doing you an injustice and me an injustice and God an injustice if I went on trying to do what I can't do, what I want to do. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, while you're young, do it. You may not get another chance to do it. You may get too old. You want to do it and can't do it. So do it, young man, while you can.
Amen.
That's right. Serve God while you can.
Amen.
Then I won't say thirdly. Teach us, Lord, to number our days when we're in old age, when we grow old. If you would, look at verse number 10. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fade away.
Amen.
70 or 80.
That's right.
If I get my 80, I'm less than 6 years away from it. That's hard to comprehend. And I'm going to tell you, God better teach us older men to number our days while we're there. It is now. If we've learned anything at all, we better number those days, because they're going to end here and we're going to the grave. As sure as I'm standing where I'm standing, unless Jesus comes first, we're going to the grave. So we better number those days. And I'm going to tell you why. Because during those youthful years, like I told you young people, during those middle-aged years, we have stored up, or should have stored up if we're right with God, a storehouse of treasures, spiritual treasures and spiritual wisdom that we have to give to other people. And I'm going to tell you what, while we're old and gray-headed and have a little wisdom about it, we better warn people about the sin that is to invade them, and about the world that is to surround them, and about death that is in front of them, and about hell that is before them, and about Jesus that died for them. I want to do all that while I can, but there may come a time when I can't.
Amen.
I told my wife this last night, and I said, honey, I'm going to be a different man than I've ever been before. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm going to be an old man instead of trying to act like a young man. See, that's one of the pitfalls of old age. Old men will try to be young men. That's why old men, their wives die and they marry a woman about a third their age. Oh, they're still trying, and it's going on. I can name you some preachers that's done it. I know an 80-some-year-old preacher that married a girl 30 years old. And made a statement in a camp meeting, I didn't marry her to be my maid. Hello? She said, how do you mean you? She said, what do you mean? And I said, one thing, I'm going to start being a little more sober-minded. And I'm going to quit trying to be young in my mind and old in my body. I said, I get out of an automobile and I use a cane. I said, I shake and I tremble. And in my mind, I think, I oughtn't to be doing that. I'm not old enough to be doing that. But you know, the point of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, I am old enough to be doing that. My strength is gone. My physical abilities are departing me, and they will you too, friend. So while you're young and while you're middle-aged, get all you can get, that when you're old, you'll have it to give to somebody else before you go off the scene, because you are headed off the scene.
Amen.
That's right. There's too many old men. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you going through your second childhood? I said, well, you mentioned, well, you bought two convertibles. I thought about that thing yesterday. I was talking to Miss Holland. I said, you know, that's right. That's probably the only reason I bought them things. I was with her for sale if anybody wants them. That's right. You start getting old, and I'm going to tell you, some of you may think it's easy to grow old. It's not easy. It's a burden. But it's a burden that man's got to overcome and realize that God's created him for that.
Amen.
And God's let him live that long. I could have died as a young man. I could have died in Vietnam. I could give you several occasions in Vietnam when I could have been dead and in hell. But God delivered me from death and hell and brought me back to America. Let me sit down in a little old Southern Baptist church in Southern Indiana where I got born again by the grace of God. Rather than me living in death and hell, I'm living in life and life, and I'm going to glory one of these days, because God was merciful to me as a young man. Hallelujah. Brought me home and saved me. Yes, sir. I could have been in hell several times. But I'm glad that He delivered me. And so I'm going to be wise about old Satan. You know what he'll do? He'll tell you that your life is now useless. You're no good to nobody. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of Americans are believing that. That's why they come out with that policy now that they have to ask old people, do you want to go on living like this, or would you rather us just not put in the breathing tube, or would you not want us to do this or do that, a feeding tube, this or that? You know what they're doing? They're telling those old people, your life is gone and you're useless. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You listen to what I'm saying.
If my face being alive can put a smile on one of my grandchildren's faces, my life is still worth living.
Amen.
If I can still hear my wife say, honey, I love you, life is still worth living. If I can crawl into the house of God and hear somebody rip one out about Jesus and tell me that He still loves me, hallelujah. By the way, that's another tale of the devil, he'll tell you. Not only that you're useless, but God don't love you anymore because you're old and useless. But I've got news for that devil. He's a liar and the father of it. When he tells a lie, he speaks about his own, because it's a lie and the father of it.
Amen.
He don't know how to tell the truth. I learned a long time ago, anything I know the devil's telling me, believe the opposite, because he can't tell the truth. Everything he says is a lie. Everything he says is a lie. Because he is a liar.
Amen.
That's right. He's a liar. I'm going to tell you, we better number our days, young people. Better number our days, you folks in your middle age. We better number our days, us older folks.
Amen.
And accomplish in those days what we can. Be wise, be wise. Don't be foolish, but be wise. Here, be wise here, and be wise here. And you know something? If you do, when you die, you can die in peace. With a lot of wisdom and understanding, a lot of love, and a lot of grace. And you can make your family so much happier. Have you ever seen a family
that lost a loved one that they knew was in hell? Have you ever listened to them cry? Have you ever seen the tears run down a mama's face hanging over a casket of a young son or daughter? Have you ever seen somebody hanging over the casket of the one that they loved that's gone, knowing they're in hell, I mean? It's not a pleasant experience, ladies and gentlemen. But if you live like I told you this morning in your youth, middle age and old age, when your children and grandchildren and friends and family pass by you, they can pass by you with a smile saying, and they can say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" And God, I'm telling you what, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but Christ has died to take the sting out of death. And the law has no power over us. Therefore, that dead body that's laying there shall get up someday. It shall get up someday. Oh, yes, that loved one will get up someday by the grace of God. They'll get up someday by the grace of God. Shake the dust off their burial shroud and wipe off the dust off of their eyes. Praise God and look up toward heaven and see Jesus. And them and us together. Hey, call out to meet the God in the sky and the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What about that? Number your days. Number your days. Let's stand together.